Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, Minister of the 12th Hour Post Holy Sanitarian Congregation on the Dallas 12th Hour, Lake Hill, Texas. Today is April 3, 2017, or it's age of 21. We will start our second service today with a song entitled, Shepherd Like a Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us. Savior, like a shepherd, lead me home. Wash me in the tenderest care. In thy present precious feet, lead us. All our use and fault prepare. Blessed Yahshua, blessed Yahshua, has brought us timely heart. Blessed Yahshua, blessed Yahshua, that has brought us timely heart. We ought thunder now be friend in the house, be the guardian of our way. Keep the flock from sinly faith in the house, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Yahshua, blessed Yahshua, He'll hear us when we pray. Blessed Yahshua, blessed Yahshua, He'll hear us when we pray. Thou hast promised to receive us, oh, and sinful God with thee. Thou hast mercy to relieve us, grace to cleanse and power to free. Blessed Yahshua, blessed Yahshua, who really came to be. Blessed Yahshua, blessed Yahshua, we will early come to Thee. Part 18, Righteousness by Faith, Hebrews chapter 11. But I have a scripture or two I want to interject. Before we actually get into Revelation 11, I want to go to Romans chapter 6. I want to read the whole chapter. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? All right, let's read the last several verses of Romans chapter 5. It says, starting with verse 15. Now let's start with verse 13. Now let's start with verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Okay, so now there you have it. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Now, keep that in mind. Sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam unto Moses, even over them that had not sinned. Now, this is your key word. The death reigned over everyone, even though they had not sinned. Now, we just read earlier, there in verse 12, that for that all have sinned. But now, here we have a scripture in verse 14 that says, all over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Okay. So they didn't sin after Adam's transgression. Who is the figure of him that was to come. So Adam is a figure of the second Adam, Yahshua, that was to come, and they were men that had been created from Adam down to the cross, down to Yahshua, the second Adam, that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam. Now, what does that mean? Simply means that Enoch was one of those that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam. So, the record doesn't show anywhere where Enoch ever committed a sin. And he was translated. At the age of 365 years old, he was translated without seeing death. For he was a type of all of those in the last days, that and the judgment of the living in the 12th hour, that will be translated without seeing death, because they had been transformed from the corruptible to the incorruptible, That's in 1 Corinthians 15:53 and 54. They have been transformed from mortality into immortality because they accepted the new and living way, Hebrews 10:20. They accepted the blood of sprinkling, Hebrews 12:22 to 24. They accepted the law of the Spirit and are walking in it. Romans 8, verse 1 and 2. So these people have been transformed into immortality. Here in the New Covenant, those that follow the restored sanctuary system, all of the holy days, and understand how to be sanctified through the following of the sanctuary system, then they are home free. So that's why we're reading this here. But not as the offense, so also as the free gift. For it is through the offense of one that many be dead. Much more the grace of Yahweh and the gift by the grace. And what is that gift? That's the gift of His Son. And it's through the blood of His Son that all mankind from Adam through down to the end of time are redeemed if they follow the sanctuary system from one economy to the second economy. From the first economy under the law of Moses for 4,000 years from Adam down to God, if they can transfer and know how to transfer into the second economy, and that is in Desire of Ages. L.G. White explains that really well. Chapter, page 652. I know that it's chapter, I believe, 72. And anyway, she deals with the Passover, and she deals with the transfer from one economy to the other, the old covenant to the new. So here it is right here. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of Yahweh and the grace and the gift by the grace which is by one man, Yahshua Messiah, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense, this is in Romans 5:17, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of the grace and of the gift of the righteousness, and that gift of the righteousness is through the blood of the Yahshua, if they receive that gift, shall reign in life by the one Yahshua Messiah. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men unto condemnation, even so by the righteousness the free gift came upon all men unto the justification of life. So simply put, that when a person accepts the plan of the salvation through the new and living way by the blood of the sprinkling, a new covenant, then the free gift applies to them. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So it didn't say all was made sinners. It just said many were made sinners. Now, it didn't make Enoch a sinner. It didn't make Noah a sinner. It did not make Noah a sinner. Because Yahweh talks about Noah. He said, "You have only have I found righteous in this generation." Okay? Enoch is the one he found righteous in his generation. So he took him to heaven. Got him out of here. Abraham, he found righteous before him. Isaac, he found righteous before him. Moses and Aaron, he found righteous before them, even though a sin was recorded against Moses. And that's the reason he had to die. But he only was dead for 3 days, and he was resurrected and taken to heaven. Aaron had to die and stay until the end of time. Because of his great sin that he committed at Kadesh Barnea. But I'm just saying, it says, "For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where a sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That if sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through the righteousness unto the eternal life by the Yeshua Messiah, our Savior." Okay, that ends at Romans chapter 5, from 12 through 21. Let us go right on into Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Yahweh forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now, if you finally become dead to sin, the question is asked, how can you live any longer therein? Know you not, as so many of us as were baptized in Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into the Yahshua Messiah were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by the baptism into death, that like as Yahshua was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Yahshua, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Yahshua, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto Yahweh. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto Yahweh, through Yahshua Messiah our Savior. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Now to yield you your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. There's that word righteousness right there. But yield yourselves unto Yahweh as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto the Yahweh. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law? that under grace, Yahweh forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, and to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? There you have it. Obey the law, all of the sanctuary law, all of the Ten Commandments, statutes, and precepts that are binding, and you have obedience unto righteousness. May Yahweh be thanked that you were the servants of sin, that you have obeyed from the heart that form of the doctrine that was delivered unto you. Being then made free from the sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, and unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants unto righteousness, unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things where ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants of Yahweh, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of Yahweh is eternal life through Yahshua Messiah our Savior. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak unto them that know the law, how the law hath dominion over man as long as he liveth? For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law of her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. And if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married unto another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of the Yeshua, that ye should be married to another, even unto him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto thy Father Yahweh. For when we were in the flesh, the most of sin which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Yahweh forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. Now you see there? Without the law, sin was dead. What if you obey the law 100%? Then sin is dead. It means you're not under the law anymore. If you stop sinning, you come out from under the law. Verse 9. For I was alive without law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained in the life I found to be under death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is made, that is good, made death unto me, Yahweh forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, as sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would that do I not. but what I hate that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know this, that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. But how to form that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not that I do. Now, he's talking about when he's in the carnal flesh, but when he's been transformed into the spiritual flesh, to the spiritual body, don't say spiritual flesh, just say spiritual body. Okay. Now, if I do that, I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. That is if I'm still in the carnal flesh and I haven't conformed to the image of his dear Son, to walk in newness of life of the Spirit, to follow the law of the Spirit. And it means that I'm in the carnal flesh. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of Yahweh after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity into the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank Yahweh through Yahshua Messiah our Savior. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of Yahweh, but with the flesh the law of sin. The Spirit of life and the Yahshua. There is therefore now no condemnation unto them which are in Yahshua Messiah. This is Romans chapter 8 verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation unto them which are in the Yahshua Messiah, who walk not after flesh, but after spirit. So when you follow the law of the Spirit, because it says in verse 2 here of chapter 8, for the law of the Spirit of life and Yahshua Messiah hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For the law of the Spirit, so the Spirit has a law, and the carnal flesh has a law. What the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, Yahweh sent his own Son the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin and the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. It is righteousness of the law, who walk not after flesh but after spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against Yahweh, for it is not subject unto the law of Yahweh. That's talking about the law of the sanctuary. That's talking about the ordained system of the true worship. Holy days, meeting on the holy days, being obedient unto all Yahweh's commandments. Now that indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please Yahweh. So those that are in the flesh cannot please Yahweh. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. There it is, right there. You're not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of Yahweh dwell in you, now, if any man have not the Spirit of Yahshua, he is not of his. Let's do that again. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of the Yahshua, the Son, dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of the Yahshua, and it plainly says right here, Christ, and so we transliterate that into Messiah, or Yahshua Messiah, he is not of his. And if the Yahshua be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up the Yahshua from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Yahshua from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not unto the flesh to live after faith, for if we live after faith, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Okay, for as many as are led by the Spirit of the Yahweh, they are the sons of the Yahweh. For ye have not received the spirit of the bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of the adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of Yahweh. And if children, then heirs, heirs of Yahweh, and joint heirs with the Yahshua. If so be that we suffered with him, that we may be also glorified together. Okay. Okay, verse 18. The glory to come, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of Yahweh. For the creature is made subject unto vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of the corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of Yahweh. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, and we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to witness the redemption of our body. For we are saved by the hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for, as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints, according to the will of Yahweh. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love Yahweh, unto them who are the called according unto his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed unto the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then? What shall we then say unto these things? If Yahweh be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of Yahweh's elect? It is Yahweh that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Yahshua that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of Yahweh, who also maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Yahshua? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake that we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Yahweh, which that is in the Yahshua Messiah, our Savior. Okay, that ends chapter 8. I know we have done these just a few days ago, but it was worth redoing again. Now we're going to go right on into Hebrews chapter 11, like we promised. We've got to get into it. It says, start with verse 1 again. It says, now faith is the substance. Let's read that again. Now faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant. which is the blood of Yeshua, is the substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through the faith and the blood, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of Yahweh, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By the faith in the blood, Abel offered unto Elohim a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Yahweh testified of his gifts, and by it being dead, yet speaketh. By the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. So, Enoch was one of those, as I mentioned before there in Romans chapter 5, where he had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's sin. And we read that to you earlier. It says, let's go ahead. Because he had not sinned, and he had no sin on his record, and he was a type of those that would be translated in the last days without seeing death. So therefore, he was a perfect candidate then for to go right on into the heavens right back there. It's the blood of the everlasting covenant that he had faith in. By faith, Enoch was translated, he should not see death, and was not found because Yahweh had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased the Yahweh. Do we have this testimony that we please the Yahweh? Really, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. What is it talking about? Without faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant, it is impossible to please Yahweh. For he that counteth unto Yahweh must believe that he is, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By the faith in the blood, Noah, being warned of Yahweh of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark unto the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by the faith in the blood of the everlasting heaven. By the faith Abraham, when he was called, let's do it again. By the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By the faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Okay, what I say, by the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant, Abraham sojourned in the land of promise. Okay. Verse 10. For he looked not, he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is Yahweh. You see that foundation with an S on foundation, meaning more than one foundation. The city has 12 foundations. Okay, through the faith in the blood, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky and multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. These all died in the faith of the blood of the everlasting covenant, not having received the promises. that having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And surely if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore Yahweh is not ashamed to be called their Yahweh, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. You see this here in verse 16, it says, for he had prepared for them a city. It didn't say the city, the holy Jerusalem, coming down from Yahweh out of heaven, even though that is eventually the holy city for all the saved of all ages. But there's going to be another story told about when this city is first set up here on earth. I believe there's going to be more to it to understand. Verse 18, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that Yahweh was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By the faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning the things to come. You get that? By the faith and the blood of the everlasting covenant, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning the things to come. Esau, even though he rejected his birthright and lost the blessing, he still Isaac blessed him. But this shows you that if you're born of the flesh, it doesn't make any difference how many blessings you get from Yahweh. If you're born of the flesh and you don't become born again by the weight of evidence of the truth, then that's your own problem. We know Ishmael wasn't born again. Esau wasn't born again. But they were the firstborn. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped leaning upon the top of his staff. Let's do that again. By the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant, Jacob, when he was dying. Okay. By the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departed of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By the faith in the blood, Moses, when he was born and was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw him as a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Okay, so why is that? By the faith in the blood, of the everlasting covenant, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the promise of the people of Yahweh, and then to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Yahshua greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By the faith in the blood, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through the faith, he kept, in the blood of the everlasting covenant, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. Lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. They that sprinkling the blood, by the faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by the dry land, which the Egyptians are saying that they were drowned. By faith in the blood, let's do that again, verse 29. By faith in the blood, they passed through the Red Sea, as by the dry land. By faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant, the walls of Jericho fell down, after they were compassed about 7 days. That's how powerful that blood is. By faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant, The harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. So you see how much protection you have when you accept and believe in the truth, even though you are not an Israelite. You accept the doctrine of the Israelite, and what do? You get delivered. Verse 32 of Hebrews 11. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant subdued kingdom, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of Saul, escaped the edge of the sword, out of the weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in the fight, turned to fight to the flight the armies of the aliens. Okay, Hebrews 11, verse 35. It says, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting delivery, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all having obtained a good report, through faith received not the promise. Yahweh having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, sin, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Yahshua, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of Yahweh. For consider him that endured such contradiction of the sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Yahweh, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For when the Yahweh, for whom the Yahweh loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now I'm already in the Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7 now. If ye endure chastening, Yahweh dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them the reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastised us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous nevertheless afterwards it yieldeth the perfect fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knee, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Yahweh, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of Yahweh, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For you are not come into the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken unto them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto the Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living Elohim, the heavenly Jerusalem, and unto an innumerable company of angels, unto the general assembly and congregation of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and unto Yahweh the judge of all, and unto the spirits of just men made perfect, and unto Yahshua the mediator of the new covenant, and unto the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifieth that the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve Yahweh acceptably with reverence and righteous fear. For our Elohim is a consuming fire. That ends Hebrews chapter 12. Now let's just go right on into chapter 13 and finish out this Hebrews. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers Yahweh will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Yeshua is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of Yahweh, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Yahshua Messiah, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts, whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burned without the camp. Wherefore, Yahshua also, that he might sanctify the people, with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise unto Yahweh continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices Yahweh is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. But I beseech you that rather to do this, that I may be restored unto you the sinner. Okay, now the Yahweh of the peace that brought again from the dead our Savior Yahshua, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through the Yahshua Messiah, unto whom be glory forever and ever. Hallelujah. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he come shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you. Salute all those that have the rule over you. And all the saints, they of Italy, salute you. Grace be with you all. Hallelujah. So, your key words in Hebrews 13 is at verse 12 and verse 20. It says, because he's dealing with his own blood, Yahshua said, wherefore Yahshua also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood. Okay, so it says, for the body of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. So they bring the blood from the animal. The animal comes up to the outer court, and they take his blood and they offer it for sanctification for sin, and then they take the beast out and burn him. Well, Yahshua, by his own blood, sanctified the people. But he had to go and be crucified outside the camp. Okay. So now when it says talking about by his own blood, Hebrews 10:14, it says, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. So, Yahshua made an offering by his crucifixion for all of those that are sanctified. In other words, they had already been sanctified by the blood of the animal. And they had their record that they were obedient to the sacrificial system of the animal in the Old Testament. So when Yahshua died, he offered blood. He perfected them by his own blood. So he perfected all of those that have followed the blood of the animal system for 4,000 years. He perfected every one of those that had sanctification written by their name in the books. So it says in Hebrews 9:14-15, it says, how much more, let's read verse 12. Now that by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy places. Holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us, see? Yahshua had to offer his own blood, enter in by his own blood, to obtain eternal redemption for all those that were living at that time. Paul was one of them. And Paul is talking 3.5 years after Yahshua's resurrection here, and he's saying, and Paul is telling these Hebrew Gentiles, he said, not by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So he's saying those that was living, that accepted Yahshua and his blood, Paul is telling them how he entered in once to obtain eternal redemption for us. And then over there in Hebrews 10:14, it says that, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. So, those that was in the grave, pure black to Adam, that had followed the purifying system of the blood of this animal, that was a substitute at the time for the blood of Yahshua that was to come. And so there you have it. So in Hebrews 9:13, it says, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Yahshua, who through the Eternal Spirit offered himself without spot unto Yahweh, purge your conscience from dead works. What does it mean, dead works? It means the death of the animal. That's what it means. It means that you no longer have to sacrifice an animal, because that's dead works. Living works is what Yahshua says here in Hebrews 10:20. Now here's your living works. He says, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of Yahweh. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of the faith in this blood, in the blood of Yahshua, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with the pure water. It don't get any much better than that, folks. Now, Hebrews 9:14, it says, how much more shall the blood of Yahshua, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot, Yahweh, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living Elohim? And verse 15, and for this cause he is a mediator of the New Testament, that by means of the death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. And what does it say there now in Daniel chapter 12 about those that are being called? Let's go read it right quick. This says, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince was standing for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even at that same time. And at that time, the people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So he's going to have a mixed resurrection here in the end time. Because those that hung him on the cross are going to be resurrected to see him, his coming and setting up the everlasting kingdom of heaven right here on earth, here in this 12th parabolic hour. Daniel 12:3, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn mean into righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Verse 10, many shall be purified and made white and tried. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. But the wise shall understand. Now let's close this sermon with Revelation 17. Let's go and read Revelation 17 right quick. Start with verse 12. It says that, and the ten horns which thou sawest, that represents are ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, that's Yahshua, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is a king, sovereign of sovereign and king of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And who are those that are called and chosen and faithful? This is the house of David with the 144,000. And Revelation 14:1 tells us exactly what that's about. It says, and I looked, and lo, a Lamb stood on the Mount Sinai, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. This brings the close of our study this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour. Call us number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. A sweet by and by. There's a land that is 7 days, and our faith we can see in afar. Oh, the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall be on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of love, blood. And our spirits shall sorrow no more, but a sigh for the blessing of rest. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on the beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. We're a bountiful Father above. We will offer a tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that hallow our day. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on the beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore.